Like a deer in the headlights or gum in your hair. What got you here will not get you there. Join us as business owners get unstuck in real time on the business building struggles we all share. Welcome to the Business Breakthrough Podcast. And here's your host, Esty Rand.
So you're not going to call it coaching. You're not going to call it consulting. So what are you going to do?
Well, what I did was I just let people experience coaching. So if I was going to be talking to someone who had already expressed interest, or maybe I thought they might be into it, I would just like do it with them on the spot. So usually they wouldn't even know that's what's starting to happen here.
Kind of like you flipped it on me. I saw that. You're like, listen, you know, do you use that? I'm like, actually, I do. Yeah, I'm like coached.
Yeah. And that's fun, right? You're like, oh, I'm being coached. And you're like, yeah, that's what this is. Do you want to do
it? It's true. And that's, I think, what it's about. It's bringing out things in people that they weren't aware of that helps them get farther.
Well, and I would say probably for all your listeners, that's an applicable, you know, piece of advice is like, if you can show and let your customers or potential, you know, clients feel and experience whatever you sell, whatever you do, I mean, that's powerful because I think user experience is becoming more and more like the key thing as people are more and more turned off to, or not turned off, but like hesitant.
No, getting more, I was going to say wary, totally. I was just talking about in the last episode with Alex, I was saying, you know, I've taught Facebook that I'm interested in every pseudo and real business coach, consultant, digital marketer on the planet, purposely because I want to see all their ads. Because you need to like search an ad, right? So I just have to teach Facebook to show them to me. And there's a script now, you know? Are you struggling with insert digital marketing issue here? Well, so was I. And I figured out the insert trick here to reach insert big numbers here for insert industry here. And this is, you know, it's like, so automatic, and you're like, junk. Yeah. And like people totally are getting fed up with it. And the global marketplace means that it's not like, you know, you got one guy down the street who's like chewing your ear off. You've got 5 million people from around the world trying to chew your ear off on the same script. And
yeah.
Totally. And you know, UPS and other shipping companies are getting super rich on this because everyone wants, you order on Amazon, but I want to touch it first and I want to feel it first and I want to see it first. So I'll order 16 versions of it and I'll keep the one I want and the rest back.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, but it's also cool because it means it shifts the power into the hands of the customers. And so that means, you know, people like us have an upper hand. Like it used to be the big brands, like it was almost impossible to compete against them, right?
Totally.
But now anybody can because the playing field's been leveled because of what you just said.
Yes, yes. Yes, and. I'm not going to say yes, but I'm going to say yes, and. Because yes, and. This playing field was leveled until the big brands noticed. And they brought all of their weight to bear. What a big brand can do with digital marketing, a little business cannot do. Okay. All of the more sophisticated tools, you know, again, in the last episode, which I'm still fired up about with Alex, when we talk about Facebook marketing, you run 200 testers. Just to find the few that are going to work and to hire someone to do that, to have the creatives write all of that, you know, little guys like, well, big brands run Facebook ads. I can run Facebook ads, and things that were never affordable to the little guy are affordable. It's some of it's a trick though. Some of it's smoke and mirrors because yes, it's true. You could not afford to make a TV spot. You might not even have been able to afford a national magazine ad, and maybe you still can't. You know, and those things are unaffordable to little guy. And so in the past, before digital marketing and before this global marketplace where you could reach out to anybody in any way, you couldn't break in. There was no way. You could tell your friends and your neighbors and your dog walker, and that was like, you know, your network. And big brands could do big media, and a TV spot's $1 million by the time they're done paying the celebrity and doing the video and doing the editing and paying for the time on air. You know, no one has that. And then digital marketing comes and everyone's like, oh, I can do this. And then they pour their $5,000 into it. And mind you, I have seen small businesses. Recently, I dealt with someone to $39,000 in Facebook advertising, brought in $2,000 in sales. They sold. Yeah. Hey, it works. That was just the cost to Facebook. That's not including what they paid the company that ran the ads.
Okay.
And that company, if I ever find them, We meet in a dark alley. Beware, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
I get very, very upset at people who mess over my little businesses.
But here's the thing that the big companies struggle to do. I'm not going to say can't do, but struggle. And I've seen this from the inside. From a company, by the way, who was trying harder than most in the Fortune, you know, in the top 100, kind of trying way more than most to do this, is they can't pivot fast.
True.
And they can't, and they struggle to give great customer experience.
True. And think, they cannot build relationship. That's another big thing that the little guys have the advantage on. And you see the big businesses trying to do it. They're trying to take the everyman and put them in their ads. And they're trying to get, like, you know, their chatbots to have names and faces. And they try, but at that scale, they technically can't.
Yeah.
They can keep trying, but it isn't manageable at that scale. And so that is totally an advantage that the little guy has and will keep. Is relationship, is quick, is that fast pivot, that ability to think on your feet and move quickly, and the customer service, which is related to relationship, but not, I would still separate them as two distinct advantages.
Yeah, I agree. Because even the big organizations that are trying, there's a few that have done really well. Like, I think Spotify's done really well with this, is you can design the organization so things can move faster and change faster, but still there's so many people involved in every friggin' conversation and decision that it's just always going to be hard at that scale. And so, like, I'm a big fan of, there's some companies who run essentially like a big group of little startups. And I'm a huge fan of that because probably like you're into, I'm really interested in, okay, but I don't want to be just a small business. Like, I want to scale and make a lot of money. And so how can you do that in a way that preserves like the goodness of when you're small?
Totally. And that's something, you know, we struggled with a lot. And I talked about this, I recently had an interview published, and I talked specifically about that. So many small businesses start out, they're small and they help the little guys, and then they get bigger and they want to help the big guys. And I'll be totally transparent. That was my dream. My first 5-year plan, it said in year one, I was going to stay local. In year two, I was going to branch out international. And then there were a couple steps in between, but by year five, I wanted to hit corporate. And I think that's kind of everybody's dream when they start a little business. Like, I'll start little and I'll start to get bigger and I'll spread wider and then I'll go to the big guys. And, you know, now 8+ years into my business, I don't want to go corporate. It's not my specialty. And I worked really hard to hire a multinational team, but all virtual, to keep my costs down so I'm still affordable to the little guy even as I grow. And you can scale and still stay personal and still help the smaller businesses. It is a strategic decision. And I'm not going to tell you I'm right. I'm not far enough along to tell you if that was my best decision yet. But, you know, it's a decision I made already a couple of years ago, and it's working. I love it.
That's really cool. I mean, I really admire and respect that, because I think the problem that those big companies get into is they were never being intentional about designing the company as they grew. And you see this happening big time, like Silicon Valley. I mean, I'm a huge startup fan, but I see so many flaws of, like, you're running so fast on the product, you don't think about the organization. And so you're gonna end up being like the things that you hated and were trying to get away from.
Very quickly.
And so I'm big into, like, how do you design the culture, not just your product?
So that was your first sweet spot. So that's a little confused. So clarify for us, what exactly is it that you're doing now? Because I remember we were chatting before we're recording now, and you were telling me how you did a whole cultural transformation. And it sounds like now you're really trying to work with individuals. So, like, kind of what is Greenhouse doing?
Yeah. I mean, at its core, we are helping individuals figure out, like, what are your strengths and passions, and how do you turn that into a career you love? How do you make the biggest impact that you can possibly make? And I just think a lot of people are walking around operating out of like 20% of their potential. And it's just because they haven't had the tools or anyone to help them kind of see how to tap into the rest of that. So when I was doing the culture work in the corporate setting, I realized at some point, I realized this actually is all about, like, what I wanted to do was create an environment where people could bring their whole self to work and really, like, tap into that potential. So we were trying, like, creating little startups within the big corporation and stuff.
But you can't really do that, because big corporations, they have to run kind of like machines, and you need gears and cogs, and it doesn't work otherwise. It's like, you can't be like, hey, my foot really wants to be individual and my toe really wants to do its own thing. Then I won't be able to walk. Like, my foot and my toe have to work for my brain. And my brain's going to decide where we go. And the foot and the toe are going to follow along. And I feel like big companies, so like, you want to hope that you're, you know, above the ankle, but you might just the toe and you're just going to, you're going to go where the brain says.
Yeah, I know. And I think you're right. And I mean, that was kind of the point where I was like, all right, it's time to kind of make that jump. That was always the dream, because I need to have my own business to do this. But it was through that I realized what I really care about is helping kind of those
individuals. I hear. I mean, you were trying to do the shift through the organization, which, by the way, was probably definitely at its outset a more lucrative business model, because you need one or two clients and you're good. Whereas to build a business on little guys, you need bunch more clients. Again, you don't need hundreds, right? Six figure take home. You can go for seven figure take home. I'm not going to stop you, but you still need more than one or two to make it work.
So we do help individuals, or we do help corporations, and we do help teams, but our main focus is helping individuals. So we have an online course to help people figure out, like, really get clear on what are your strengths? What are you good at? What do you love doing? What is your wiring? What's your unique kind of sweet spot?
What makes it different than any of the myriad personality tests, aptitude tests, other things out there? Like, why should someone come to yours, and specifically versus some of the really big ones that everyone's familiar with?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. So what we're doing is we're bridging this big gap that exists right now in the market. So you've got what you said, all these personality test kind of things that are great at giving you insight and self-awareness. And I'm a huge fan of those. Like, we use those ourselves. But then you just like left saying, now what? Like, what do I do with this new knowledge? Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of the spectrum is like productivity and self-help stuff that helps you get really efficient. But people are getting efficient at the wrong thing. Like, they're getting efficient at something that isn't their sweet spot. And so we're trying to bridge that gap and say, That's why the executive leadership coaching, because in the coaching I do with people one-on-one is some really like powerful things, like you probably know, that help people get insight and turn it into reality. So we're all about like helping you figure that out. And then, like you say, monetize it or like actually live into it.
Okay. So what about aptitude tests? I feel like an aptitude test also bridges the gap. You know, it tells you what you're good at and how you might use that professionally and like what to do about it.
Right. And it tells you what to do about it. But then a lot of people still struggle with what is the next step, or this is the common one. They have this big vision or idea and they try to do it all at once and it just crashes. Like, you have to take steps into it.
Totally.
So I just really believe in people are more motivated by their own ideas and their own vision. And so that's what happens in coaching, is you help someone realize like what they want for themselves and what their plan and their idea is. And so we've wove those principles into our tool.
So I would say, if you were to ask me on the differentiating feature, is that it's much less generic, right? It's not like, okay, there are, you know, seven personalities or 30 different micro personalities in our giant global personality, da da da. It's much more individual. And it's, how do you now take this personality, these skills, these aptitudes with productivity tools and efficiencies to actually make something that you're going to be happy with, whether it's a career choice or your own business or whatever it's going to be?
Yeah, I like that. That's
I like
helpful.
That too.
Thank you.
No problem. That's what I'm good at.
Yeah.
I had a guy on the show a couple of weeks ago, Christian, and he's like, I'm trying to figure out my messaging. I'm like, I think your messaging is this. He's like, I think it is too. I'm like, you're all like, okay.
Well, here's the other thing I see. So the more hidden part is, and you know this, but everyone has like stories in their head that are like these limiting beliefs. And that's kind of the buzzword in the realm of coaching, but everyone has these mindsets that prevent them from getting to where they want to be.
Like the one you said about closing deals being misleading. It's so far into me. I can't even remember what you said.
Yeah. Well, it's a perfect example. Yeah. I mean, exactly. I totally shoot myself in the foot all the time with that one. And so that's the other part that like a lot of the stuff out there doesn't help you with, because you can get the right tactics, but if you don't fix the mindsets, like you shoot yourself in the foot. And so
totally.
That's well, part
this
that
feels very about. Holistic. It's holistic coaching.
We're so holistic. Hold on. Let's redo that part there. About what sets us apart. We're just holistic, you know?
Exactly. We're holistic coaches.
We're just so holistic that, you know.
Be holistic coaches who help other holistic coaches launch holistic coaching practices. I could already design your Facebook campaign.
Thank you.
Are you struggling with finding your direction?
No.
Have you dreamed of becoming the person you were meant to be? You probably want to become a holistic coach. We are holistic coaches that help others find their place.
I love this.
$995.99, you can take our flagship course.
Yeah.
And then for another $500 a month, we will help you start earning about $15 an hour.
Oh, man, this is lucrative. Are you struggling with being holistic? Well, you just like, I love the, you could just do some like SEO, you know, people are Googling, like, I need a new car and it pops up like holistic coaching.
Totally. You totally could do that. You totally could do that. Okay. So I like this. I like where you're going with this. Tell me what you're struggling with these days. It sounds like you've overcome a lot on your journey, and where are you at now with it?
Yeah. Well, right now there's a couple things, and they're related to scale and what we're talking about. So we don't want to just be coaching and consulting. That's the goal, honestly, is this bigger online digital funnel, kind of doing the sales for us to find the people, you know, in the haystack who want that deeper dive. Mm-hmm. And so the scaling part is tricky because right now we're in the crux of like, okay, there's some interested investors and that would help kind of accelerate that process. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of like unique things to how this company is set up that, I don't know, may not jive really well with typical investors. So we're really struggling with that scale part and what's the best approach, because we're at a point where it could go faster, but is that worth it in the long run? And so it's funny you mentioned Facebook ads, because that's a big thing right now. Like, we spent the past couple of weeks really trying to figure out this intersection of like building that trust and using Facebook ads.
So you have to listen to the previous episode, number 45. And guys, any of you listening now, this is 45, the previous one, 44, with Alex Fedotoff, because he's a genius. But I'll throw the one-liner in here, and then all of you need to listen to 44, you too, which is Facebook is much smarter than we are. And the mistake that I've been making for years on my Facebook ads is I've been bossing it around. So for clients, I always hired external guys, but for internal, for Strand stuff, I was trying to do the Facebook ads myself. I like to understand everything my staff does. Now, can I code a website like my coder? No, but do I read basic coding? Do I understand what can be done with it? Yes. So I need to understand it. And Facebook ads have been like this black box for me, because every time I go in, I cannot do what my guys can do. And that's made me crazy for a really long time until, you know, just like last week. So what I've been doing is I go in. So again, all of marketing, medium, message, and market, right? So it's my audience, right? Who I'm targeting, my message, what I'm trying to tell them, and my medium, right? So the medium is Facebook if you're doing Facebook ads, right? And media is just plural for medium. So social media are a bunch of social mediums. Yeah, guys, you all know that. Amazing. So the messaging, right, is the part you have the most control over. So how you create your visual, what the copy says, what the offer is that you're giving, what your funnel is afterwards, all of that is critical. Now, the market is something that I thought I had control over, but I was wrong. This is the sticking point, because I do very detailed target marketing with my clients, for myself. And so I was feeding Facebook these very detailed audiences and telling them, you know, okay, find me let's say, you know, someone who's 25 to 45 in California, who's an entrepreneur, who's interested in this person or this person or this person or this person, and Facebook's like, listen, I can only find you three people that fit those criteria. You know, and it just wasn't working. And what you actually have to do is, here guys, welcome for your summary from last week's episode, is you give Facebook general direction, and then you test a bunch of different versions, and you let it figure it out, and it gets smarter the longer it runs. And that's the trick. That's the whole trick. And I totally get it now, because again, thinking back to the campaigns that we've launched for clients through other, through our Facebook ad experts, you know, freelancers that we've brought in to projects, they look much more like that. And it always confused me. I didn't get it. So, yeah, you know, I would tell Facebook that, you know, find me anybody, male or female, from 25 to 45. If I want to do something in LA live, so I'll have to tell it Los Angeles or within a 500 mile radius or whatever I decide how long people are going to drive, you know, 50 miles, whatever I decide. If it's something that's online, I'll tell it North America or, you know, any English speaking countries or whatever like that. And then I say, who are interested in Gary Vee or anything similar to what I'm doing? And then I run a bunch of different visuals. I've run a bunch of different, you know, in addition to, let's say, various videos or images, I'll run a few variations on copy for each of these audiences for a little bit and then see which one sticks. And the ones that stick, that start sticking, let them go longer. The longer they run, the more Facebook learns. It will find me my exact person, but I can't tell it to find it. And that, it's a complete game changer.
Yeah, that is so good. Let's just like cut off our episode right now and just cut into your previous one.
I know it's really a rock star episode. It's amazing. No, and it is. And, well, and I think what's important about it, and I think this comes back to what we're talking about, right? So that's his zone of genius. Yeah. Everything's a black box until you open it. So Facebook ads to me was a black box for a couple of years until I opened it last week. And, you know, when we're talking about finding your sweet spot, getting out into the world, making the jump or the walk or the step into your next thing, it's a black box until you go into it, until you start really thinking about it, until you start, you yourself are a black box until you get in there, right? To get to know yourself and get to know your strengths and your, I don't want to say desires, and aptitudes is too stuffy a word, but basically in plain English, the things that you're going to be best at, you know, and we're so afraid to open that box because then what do we have to do with it? You know, it's a responsibility not everyone wants to have.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think part of it too is society, so many of the structure we all live and work in, it's like for years they've told us to spend all of your extra energy trying to make what you suck at better. And it's like, oh, you know, you weren't doing very good at this, Steve, so you need to get better at that. Well, I'm never gonna be great at that. Like, I always think of it like negative 10 to positive 10. If you're telling me to take a negative 8 to a negative 5, or maybe best case is 0, like, how much edge does that give me in what I'm doing?
Totally. I always say, don't try harder, try different. It's not about trying harder.
I like that.
Try different. You know, you feel you're banging your head against the wall and again and again and again. Stop banging your head against the wall. Turn around and walk in a different direction. Look for a door. There's no door. Look for another building. I don't care. But stop standing there trying harder to do something that's not working. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it is something I live with a lot. If it is broke, do fix it. That's the opposite. It's true also.
Yeah. And then people might get hung up on like, oh, but that seems too hard, or life's just busy and you're trying to react to everything. Mm-hmm. And so there's like, I don't have the time to do all this stuff you're talking about. Well, it goes back to what we said at the beginning. Usually the answers are like right there. I mean, if you just look at what you did as a kid, I mean, usually the answer is right in front of you and it just takes a second or maybe someone pointing in the right direction to see it. And that's what I've always found with people, that myself and who I work with.
I hear that. No, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's so interesting that you keep taking it back to kid. Like, I would not have thought of that. So do you really, have you found success taking clients back to what they thought they'd do when they were young and that they really are able to now find a place to monetize that when they're adults?
Oh yeah. Like there was someone I recently worked with who went from like clueless about what to do next to like their dream job in 1 month. And well,
that's a nice statistic. You should write that down.
It's yeah, it's nice. But then my, but actually the ones I like better are like this guy I just recently worked with who he built a $150 million company. So everyone's like, oh, well, he knows what he's doing, right? And he's sitting there going, well, that was just a job. Like, yeah, I was good at it, but I wasn't, there was no purpose in it. It was like not what I was actually loved doing. So now he's trying to figure out on this kind of back half of the career, what do I do that would be more meaningful? And so same thing, like looking at what he did as a kid, we got the answer pretty quickly. And now he's launching into like something that he is really excited about and probably will be really successful at too. But you know, everyone else I'm talking to that thinks, oh, you know, I'm the only one, or I'm just too dumb to figure this out. It's like, well, he's clearly pretty smart. Like he's pretty good in business and he's still struggling with that.
Totally. I love that. Steve, this has been great. So where can people find you? Where can they learn more about Greenhouse? Where can they start finding their sweet spot and loving what they do and going after it?
Well, our website, greenhouseculture.co, there's info there. And there's also like a free kind of starter assessment people can do. And, you know, we open up once in a while access to this kind of course and this membership. And depending on when this airs, we're doing it February 2019.
Okay.
So I'd encourage people to check out the website. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn too. So you can find me there, Steve Perkins.
Okay. Amazing. So guys, go to greenhouseculture.co. We'll put all these links on sdran.com/45. You can find Steve. So Steve, I like to surprise people at the end and ask them for a quote. Doesn't have to be your favorite one of all time, but it can be because I love quotes and I love to share quotes and I love to collect quotes.
Quotes. Oh man. Can I pull it up? I have one written down.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just trying to build suspense here. Oh man, maybe I have to share two. Okay.
You can share two. We'll let you. We'll do two for one deal.
Okay. Well, because there's one from Steve Jobs I recently found, and he said, the only way to do great work is to love what you do. And I mean, that just really spoke to, you know, what I do in my business. Totally. So I love
that. It's very much like a Steve Jobs kind of line. It's very much everything you've been saying this whole time.
Yeah. Ah, man. See, you're pinning me down. This is so hard.
What's the other one? All right. Well, give us three. Now, what's the other one?
Well, I like this one too by Maya Angelou. She said, my mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style.
Love it.
I just really like that. So
I love it. And these both resonate so much with everything you've said. I love it. You know, not just survive, to thrive, love what you do, find that sweet spot, that zone of genius where things just come easily and you feel like you're fulfilling what you're meant to be doing here. And I totally agree with that. It so resonates. Guys, check out Steve and subscribe because, like, of course you are already, but just in case you're not subscribed, subscribe to the Business Breakthrough Podcast. And if you are already, you know our rule, subscribe someone else because you need to share the love. So look to your right, left, front, back, up, down. Find someone else who needs this. Shoot them an email, shoot them a link, and we will catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Business Breakthrough Podcast with SD Rand. If you're looking for a breakthrough in your business, reach out at sdrand.com/breakthrough to be a guest on the show. Everyone's got a business struggle. What's yours?